It is believed the temple choir would sing Psalm 90 whenever Israel was in a national crisis. Psalm 91 is more of a pestilence sermon, but we'll await on that, and we'll take a look at what the Jerusalem temple would do when they had a time of national crisis. In Psalm 90, which I'll read for us, it begins with an inscription by the scribes. The Sopharim or scribes were not writing a part of the Bible. It's often believed they were giving us the historical background that is true as to the origin of the Psalms. Their inscription on Psalm 90 is this: a prayer of Moses, the man of God. In our national crisis, we might think of the Pilgrims, or think of George Washington, or think of Abraham Lincoln. In Israel's national crisis, they would think of Moses. So that would be the reason the temple choir would sing these words. Moses wrote mostly law, like the Pentateuch, but a few songs. Deuteronomy 32 is the song of Moses. And here is another psalm that Moses wrote, and centuries later, they would come to mind and sing it. Now we'll look at Psalm 90. I'll read verses 1 and 2 for us. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were born, you gave birth to the earth and to the world. From everlasting to everlasting, you are God. One would think that Moses' background caused him to think about these words. Technically, Moses was not an orphan in the traditional sense, but he did not grow up in his biological family. The princess of Egypt adopted him, and he knew his parents and sister, and yet as he got older, he probably went to the Egyptian school all the time, less and less time with his Hebrew relatives. Later, he was a fugitive in the desert for 40 years. He took care of the sheep all alone. Then he wandered in the desert for 40 more years. No place on earth was like a lasting home for him. Nothing was ever the same. In addition to hidden dangers, like Psalm 34 of last week, this is a time of great change. A lot of unsettled things are happening. In all of his life, Moses had little stability. Most of the time, he would break his tent in the morning and then move around, not even knowing where he would put up the tent that evening, where he would sleep that evening. All his changes and all his unsettled life caused him to think of the ideas here in Psalm 90, verses 1 and 2. Life is a journey. No place lasts. Moses constantly changes. Even if we stay in one place, the world changes out from under us, and nothing seems to be the same. Moses' thought was, the Lord is our home for all generations. Last week, we studied Psalm 34, and God is like a fortress, like a storm shelter, like a place of safety in a time of battle. And that's one thought. Psalm 90 is close, but it's a little bit on the Lord is home. The Lord is constant. The Lord is our dwelling place. Our country is undergoing great change. We are having some changes in our lives. This is a brand new thing for a service and sermon here at Westcliff Bible Church, what we're doing this morning. God is older than the United States. Moses would walk by the mountains in the Sinai Desert, and he probably thought, they are very, very stable. Those mountains, just stay put. But God is older than the mountains. God is older than the planet Earth. God is older than an ever-changing society, and he's older than our world, meaning our social system. Verse 2, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Lots of things are changing. God does not change. The Word of God does not change. God's plan for our life does not change, and we might even learn more of it over time. Moses was what we would call a nomad. We're not nomads. Moses tended to travel all the time. We tend to stay put. That's the characteristic of the church family at Westcliff Bible Church. And yet the world changes out from under us without our control. Malachi 3:6 said, "For I am the Lord, I change not." James 1:17, "Every good gift and perfect gift comes down from above, from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning." A modern translation, no shifting shadow. Hebrews 13:8, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever." We are not nomads like Moses, but the Bible describes us as pilgrims and sojourners. That's kind of a King James word. We might say aliens and travelers. Life is going to change out from under us, even if we stay in one place. Pilgrims and sojourners, 1 Peter 2:11, Hebrews 11:13. We don't pull up a tent each morning. We don't move around all day and not know where we're going to be at nighttime. But in other ways, the world is very unstable, very confusing. It changes right from out underneath us. And God is our foundation for life. God is our dwelling place. God is our home. A related text here is Psalm 71, verse 3. "Be as a rock to me of habitation, to which I may continually come." A rock is a little bit different than a fortress, but a rock speaks of a foundational stone, something to build our lives upon that does not change. God changes his works. In the Old Testament, there was a temple and a priesthood, and there were animal sacrifices. In the New Testament, Christ paid for all our sins. It is finished. There's no animal sacrifice. We are all priests. We can all come to God at any time. So God's work changes, but his attributes never change. God always has been omniscient. He knows everything. What's happening now was not a surprise to him. And he knows our future. And he knows what good he can bring out of the present time. God is always omnipresent. He is always inside each believer. He is always around each believer. God is always holy, without sin. He's always truthful. He always will keep his promises. He will keep his covenant, which is like us saying he will keep his relationships, or even more of a common term, he will not break up with us. So God always has the same attributes. The Word of God is also eternal. The Bible lasts. Psalm 119:89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." Psalm 119:160, "Every one of your righteous ordinances is everlasting." And Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away." God's attributes never change. God's word never changes. God's truths and promises and commitment to us never change. As a nomad, Moses moved in a camping situation all the time. Yet God to him was the house, the eternal dwelling place. Psalm 90 was turned into poetry by the British musician a long time ago, Isaac Watts. And later we've asked Kip and Amy to sing these words, which remind of Psalm 90 in a musical way. So Moses looked to God as his dwelling place. Also, as we go on in Psalms, he looked at the brevity of life. Best to think of this as a time of wandering for him. He wasn't thinking of eternality. He wasn't thinking of the soul lasting forever. He believed that doctrine. But he was thinking of wandering around in confusion in the desert. So that's the situation as I now read Psalm 90, verses 3 through 10. You turn man back into dust and say, return, O children of men, for 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it passes by, or as a watch in the night. You have swept them away like a flood. They fall asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which sprouts anew. In the morning, it flourishes and sprouts anew. Toward evening, it fades and withers away. For we have been consumed by your anger, and by your wrath we have been dismayed. You have placed our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. For all our days have declined in your fury. We have finished our years like a sigh. God never changes. God's word never changes. This world changes a lot. It might help to think that he's not thinking of the afterlife. Here he's thinking of wandering in the desert. And so he's looking at it like it always changes out from underneath him. And he is thinking maybe like an Egyptian. I think we do not need to think like the ancient Egyptians all the time. They're well known for what I might call morbidity. They're thinking of mummies and tombs, and lasting monuments. And all the way through, the rulers wanted to have a lasting monument where their coffin would be placed. I think that's a bit obsessive. We do not want to start thinking about death 24/7 and be afraid to touch the door handle on the car, or afraid to open a can of soup. So we don't want to think about death all the time. But probably Americans think about death too little. We think about the limitations of life hardly ever. We live on and on and on. And we act as though that nothing will ever end. So here there's some thought about, it will end. Some thought about the priorities of life. In a minute, we'll get to verse 12, which will say, teach us to number our days. That's Moses' main thought of the priority of life as he's thinking about that it has limitations. But first, I would like to talk more about verse 3 and following. We are pausing our Genesis study right now. We would have been at the fall in the garden. We would have been at death entering into the world. And Genesis 3:9 says, for you are dust, to dust you shall return. Moses in this prayer mentions dust. He also mentions like a rapid whitewater creek, and it flows away, and all the water is gone. He mentions like grass, and grass is nice and green. It grows up, and then in a few seasons, it's all brown. He also mentions secret sins, which is kind of interesting. Maybe perhaps the thought that all those that think they're going to live forever think that no one is watching secret sins. They kind of go together. We cannot judge the thought of every person that went on trips on spring break this year, but certainly some of them, we see their clips where they're thinking as though life will last forever and they can get away with things. That might be the reason for these two different topics here in Psalm 90. In verses 3 through 9, Moses was thinking that his life will end. They should think about priorities. Soon we will get that priority, but I deliberately left verse 10 out by itself. Here's verse 10. As for the days of our life, they contain 70 years, or if due to strength, 80 years, yet their pride is but labor and sorrow. For soon it is gone, and we will fly away. We know this verse both from the common phrase 70 or 80 years as an expectation of a lifespan, and from the country song lyrics, I'll fly away. I do think probably we're living a little longer than previous generations because of the refrigeration of food and penicillin. So maybe a longevity has increased a little bit. But also maybe prior to previous centuries, the mortality was very, very high among children, and a lot of people still lived to be 60 and 70. I know King Herod in Jesus' time lived to be 70. Emperor Charlemagne in 800 AD lived to be 70. Monsieur Cadillac, who founded Detroit in 1701, he lived to be 70. I'd have to check, but I remember Robert E. Lee, and I think we lost him about age 70. So in the previous centuries, a lot of the children were lost, but a lot of other people lived to this lifespan of 70 and 80. We think of Methuselah. Methuselah may be the reason that Moses mentioned 1,000 years is still small, and he may have had Methuselah in mind. Eventually, we get back to Noah's flood. It's possible there are things that happened in Noah's flood that reduced longevity, so that afterwards it went down to about this amount, 70 or 80, maybe a little longer. And Moses was thinking about all the wandering, and he was thinking about all the years of his life passing on, and it made him think now of verses 11 and 12. Who understands the power of your anger and your fury according to the fear that is due you? And anger here probably is not eternal anger, but the anger of having to wander in the desert and not going in the promised land. But he was thinking as the years passed about God's being upset. Verse 12, most likely the most important verse, teach us to number our days that we may present to you a heart of wisdom. Moses thought of a limited life. While wandering in the desert, he thought of God's anger. Now, the anger was chastisement, and it was not eternal punishment, but the limitations of life made him think about anger of wandering in the desert, and it might make people think today of God's anger in eternal nature. And they better be right with him. Moses was not thinking about the lengths of eternity. He was thinking about the 70 or 80 years of this life. Jesus said in John 11, 25 and 28, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. That would be eventual resurrection. But also, whoever lives and believes in me will never die. That would be the soul is eternal. I think Moses knew human souls are eternal. Jesus said in the burning bush, God said to Moses, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Meaning he didn't say, I was their God. He said, I am their God, assuming their souls have lived on. So I think Moses knew that souls are eternal. In Psalm 90, though, he's mainly talking about this life. Talking about wandering around and the years are wasted and this life will be short. This life will be 70 or 80 years, plus or minus a few, but there will be limitations. And we hope the hospitals and the government does a good job with the coronavirus, but there will come a time when no hospital and no government can fix the inevitable. Moses, thinking about the limitations of this life, thought about the fact that we need to get over God's anger by forgiveness, and we need to make a priority. We need to present to God a heart of wisdom. Life is short, and so we need to live wisely and to have forgiveness for all of God's anger. Looking at the margins of my study Bible, I'm not surprised it had Psalm 39, which pictures life as a handbreadth, that it's short, so that's good to have in our margins. I did not see Ephesians 5 in the margin. That is surprising. Paul in Ephesians 5 seems to have read Psalm 90. In Ephesians 5, 15 and 16, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. So I'm pretty sure that Paul read Psalm 90. Present a heart of wisdom in Psalm 90, Paul's way of saying it, would be to make the use of your time. Following that in Ephesians 5, he talks about being filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. We're mostly controlled by the Holy Spirit by obeying the book that he wrote. Then after that, all the results of making the most of your time, all the results with a good family, and Paul mentions husbands and wives and children. Then he mentions a workplace with rendering service to the Lord and not as to men, or as in the hymn, all for Jesus. Presenting a heart of wisdom means that all is for Jesus, and to be filled and controlled by the Holy Spirit and the book that he wrote. Awareness of the limitations of this life changes how we pass the years and gives us thought as to what is really important. All the eternal things are important. Many other things may not be bad, but they're transitory. The souls of our loved ones, husbands, wives, children, other relatives, they are important. The Bible is eternal. It is important. The church is eternal. It is important. So far, in Psalm 90, we can view God as an unchanging dwelling place in an ever-changing world. We can take thoughts of the shortness of life to redeem our time, make the most of the years, make it count for eternity. There is a little bit of thought here about God's anger. I think that God's anger here would be wandering in the desert. I remember the spies went into the promised land and brought back the grapes. And 38 of the 40 spies said, we can't go in. And Joshua and Caleb disagreed and felt that they could obey God and God would give power. But because of this, there was a chastisement. Temporal anger there is probably the anger that Moses has in mind while he's wandering for 40 years. But related to now, there might be some thoughts that life is short and we want to get rid of the eternal anger of God. We want it settled. We want to be forgiven by placing our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses' prayer continues as we look at Psalm 90, verses 13 through 15. Let us think of these as prayer requests. Do return, O Lord. How long will it be? Be sorry for your servants. Satisfy us in the morning with your loving kindness, that we may sing for joy and be glad for all our days. Make us glad according to the days you have afflicted us, and the years we have seen adversity. The actual translation is evil, but meaning adversity. We don't know the exact time in his life Moses wrote this prayer and this music, but no doubt it was later in life. No doubt it was while they're wandering around the desert. And one of his prayer requests is, oh Lord, how long is this going to last? That might fit now. I think I would rather be home for a few weeks than wander in the desert for 40 years. But already we can follow this prayer request here. How long is this going to last? Verse 13. Verse 14a praying for a new day, a new morning, a different era. Verse 14b, we might pray for more singing and more gladness. That singing and gladness will come when this period is over with. In verse 15, we might want a longer time of gladness and joy than a time of aimless wandering. Moses' prayer requests fit wandering in the desert, and they fit right now. Oh Lord, how long? But make us glad for a longer time than what we have endured the affliction. Satisfy us with your loving kindness. Make us sing for joy for a longer time than what we had troubles. We end now with verses 16 and 17, where Moses ends his prayer, and here are some more of his prayer requests. Let your work appear to your servants and your majesty to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us, and confirm for us the work of our hands. Yes, confirm the work of our hands. Let your work appear to us. Show us what you want to do with this time. In his case, it was 40 years of wandering. It won't be that long with us. But what did you want to do with us to allow this affliction? What do you want to do with our country that you allow this? What do you want to do with our world that you allow us? And let it appear to us. Let's see us. See it. Next, let this trouble teach God's majesty to the children. I think the little people, the children and grandchildren, are going to remember this for a long time. They will remember that we did pray. They remember that we did look to the Bible. They will remember our comments for a long time. And Moses prayed, let us see what you're trying to do, and let our children see a majestic God from this. Verse 17, let this trouble bring God's favor. May God find favor in how we handle it. May we see his approval in how we handle it. And the final prayer request at the last part of verse 17, may God do something great with the work of our hands. May he let us build something that is very, very valuable because we've had a time of change and a time of affliction. Verse 12, don't waste the limited time. Verse 17, use us to build a lasting work. Confirm the work of our hands. Psalm 90 is not the most plague chapter in the Psalms. Probably Psalm 91. But Psalm 90 was the words that would be sung in the temple whenever there was a national crisis. They go back to their founding father Moses and ask how he dealt with his time of change, how he dealt with his time of uncertainty, where everything was moving. One thought, God is our dwelling place. God never changes. He's even older than those mountains. God is like a spiritual rock. He'll never change. Another thought is life on this earth is short, and Moses learned his top priorities. Teach us to live a life of wisdom. In his wandering, he prayed that it will end. How long? Let this end. Let us have a day of gladness. Let us have a longer period of gladness than the period of wandering and uncertainty. Moses prayed, too, to see God's work, to see what he was going to do, to see the great things that will come out of this. And he prayed that it would last. Moses' prayer makes sense in a time of uncertainty. We want God's approval and favor, too. We want him to do something great with us and confirm the work of our hands. Let's pray together, please. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your servants' ideas. We do pray throughout this that we'll be able to see what you do with each person, each family, our church, our country, and even the world. We pray that you'd protect all of the medical workers, change priorities, that we see the value of the farmers and the truck drivers and the people that work in stores and all the people that work in healthcare. We pray, Lord, that you would use us greatly, pray that many people will trust in your Son as Savior. We ask this in his name. Amen.
Oh God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. Under the shadow still may we dwell secure. Sufficient is thine arm alone, and our defense is sure. Before the hills in order stood, or earth received her frame, from everlasting thou art God, to endless years the same. A thousand ages in thy sight are like an evening gone, short as the watch that ends the night before the rising sun. Time like an ever-rolling stream bears all who breathe away. They fly forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day. God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, be our guide while life is shall last, and our